several months. And Craig and Courtney have been in pastoral ministry for over 10 years. And Craig's also been involved in overseas crusades, gospel crusades, preaching to, I think, thousands of people at a time. I saw one of the videos, and just a mass of people that he's preaching the gospel to. And currently, he is serving as a finance director at one of the local agencies. Which one? Center for Living. And he's married to Courtney. They have 7 children. You know, when God told Adam and Eve to multiply, fill the earth, they took that seriously. They said, bless God, if nobody else does it, we're going to do it. You know, but Scripture says that children are a heritage of the Lord, and blesses the man with a quiver full. Your quiver is just bigger than my quiver. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand and give Craig a warm covenant welcome this morning.
Well, good morning. It is a great joy to be with you today. And I don't know if this was a dirty trick on the schedule or what, but putting the B team up here for daylight savings time. But I was thinking about that, and I realized that actually Pastor has missed an opportunity, because all of you have already brought a sacrifice to God in that 1 hour to sleep. And I believe that there's going to be an impact of that, that you're actually the hungry ones that want to know God and want to experience Him. I have had a great privilege over the last few months of getting to know our pastoral leadership here. I love Pastor Brett and Diane. She's out there with our kids so often. That was a mic, not me. And I love Pastor and Bobby, and what a great gift to the Dows that God has brought in these families. And so I just bring honor to them today. The Bible says that's a good thing to do, and I mean it. You want me to change?
Testing. Whoa. Let's get ready.
I mean it from the bottom of my heart. We feel privileged to be here. As I was praying about what God would have me to speak to this house this morning, I got the privilege of not having to be doing a message week after week. And so this message got a lot of prayer. And I believe that God gave me a word that I've titled Overcoming Through Intimacy. Pressing into God's presence for victory. You ever face something where you don't know how you're going to get through? And you're looking ahead and going, there is no way that I can make it. I hate a statement I'm about to say to you. There's a statement I've heard so often. And it's this statement: God will never allow you to go through more than you can handle. And I'm like, I have not experienced this, not more than I can handle anointing. I would appreciate not more than I can handle. Because here's the truth. Most of the time, when I'm facing stuff, it is way more than I can handle. Here's what the Bible really says. God won't allow you to go through more than He can handle. The problem is that there's this other principle in the Bible called omnipotence, which means God has all power. There's nothing He can't handle. So when you're facing some hard stuff, recognize it probably is more than you can handle. It's probably a lot more than if it was just on your shoulders, then you could weather on your own. But if you have God, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, I can do all things. Through what? Through my own strength? No. Through Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I get a little excited, and I come from what we call a Pentecostal background. And so you are absolutely free to do whatever. Get excited, shout, have a baby, whatever works for you. But as I was praying, and Courtney and I were sitting over there as Pastor was praying, and I leaned over to her and I said, I don't know if we should join this prayer, because our track record is not good as far as having late babies. We join the prayer, but I believe that his prayers are going to be more powerful for you. But I was praying through this. I said, Lord, help me to bring a message that's going to help people draw close to you. Because I sense that some of y'all are going through some things. Going through some difficult trials. You're dealing with situations beyond your control. You're dealing with hurt and things that are overwhelming. And the truth is that if you're not facing that right now, the nature of life is that you're going to come against something at some point that you need God for. Here's a beautiful scripture. It's Isaiah 43 and 2, and it says this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You got to say that to yourself. He's with me. There have been times when I face some stuff and I've had to remind myself, he's with me. And when you pass through the rivers, because he's with you, this is what the Bible says, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not, say not, set you ablaze. Why? Because he is with you. Now here's the thing. Some of you might feel like my life's underwater. Everything is aligned against me. I'm burning up. I don't know what to do. But the truth is, if you press into God, not one thing that comes into your life can overtake you. Here's the deal. If you're underwater right now, if you reach up your hands and say, God, I know that you're with me, you'll find that there's a bubble of his presence and protection over you. And within that bubble, you'll find perfect peace. And perfect love. And what does the Bible say? Perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. I have found a few litmus tests in my life to find out just how in his presence am I. And one of those is fear. I know that when fear exists in a moment, then that moment is a place where I'm not pressed into and trusting God. Because when I trust God, it awakens over my being the kind of reality where fear cannot exist. I don't know if you heard that right now. Because I'm like you. I'm human. I love that we say around here, there's nobody perfect, because that's the truth. And I've been through some stuff where I was so full of fear. And I wondered, where is God? And in wondering where is God, I got more fearful. But then when I recognized and it flipped and I realized, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He sticks closer than a brother. And I look up and go, God, you're with me. It's amazing. Fear runs in those moments. So I want to share three powerful truths with you today. The good news is that it's only going to take a couple hours to get through it all. So, no, we got a time limit around here. I understand. Understand, number one, intimacy with God purifies and strengthens your faith. Here's a truth I've realized in going through some stuff in life, is that one of the most challenging things in life is that adversity is what primarily grows your faith. We spend a lot of time running from the one tool that we have in life that helps us to grow. How do we stay out of adversity? How do we avoid adversity? But for the most part, God is not wanting to help you avoid adversity. God is wanting to help you overcome adversity. Because in the midst of overcoming, you've then got a testimony that you can look back to and talk to somebody else about. Someday I want to write a book called The Advantage of Adversity. Because you only become an overcomer by overcoming. The stories in the Bible are not, they had a quiet life, although Paul says that's what we should pray for. They had a quiet life, did a couple of things, and died. The end. This Bible is full of they messed up big time, and God came and made a way where there was no way. They had people aligned against them, but found out that God, who was in them, was bigger than the things around them. That's what the Bible says. This is a great scripture. Honestly, you're not going to like it, but it's a great scripture. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice. And when the Bible starts that way, you know you're coming up against something.
That though now for a little while you've had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Wait a minute, I'm greatly rejoicing for that? I thought the next piece was going to be, you greatly rejoice because everything's going to be easy and you got the lottery numbers downloaded to your soul. That's nowhere in the Word of God. You can't pray. Angels are not going to show up and give them to you. So you might as well quit playing and just keep working through life. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold may result in what? Praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Hard times prove our faith and God's faithfulness. The Bible says He's never seen, this is what one of the writers said, never seen the righteous forsaken. And here's the beautiful truth. In Christ, what are you? You are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You are one of the righteous that God will not forsake. Gold is refined through fire. When they dig gold up out of the ground, it comes up in clumps, and then they run it through a whole process. Everybody ever watch Gold Rush? Run it through a whole process to get it refined. My kids know on Saturday morning it's not cartoons, it's Gold Rush. Refined, and then at the end of that, they run it through fire to eliminate the impurities and get it to a useful state. Here's what I want to tell some of you prophetically, the challenges and the shakeups and the things that you have walked through over these last years have been preparing you to be useful to God. And as you have walked through them, you've been getting refined and purified and made where God can then use you for His glory. I remember a number of years ago, my family and I walked through a very challenging time. I grew up in the Pentecostal world and believed in healing. I've seen incredible healing miracles. I've laid hands on people and had their hearts completely transformed. I have encountered and seen God get people out of wheelchairs. I've seen incredible things. And yet, when I was 3 and a half, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And to this day, there's a pump connected to me that keeps a hormone called insulin pumping through my body that keeps me alive. And I used to wrestle with that. God, how can I pray for healing for this person when I'm struggling with this? And the Lord said, it's your job to continue to trust, to continue to believe me for healing, to continue to believe me for good. Don't try to justify the thing that you're walking with. Don't try to get it make sense in your mind, but just trust me and continue to trust me for others too. When I was young, there was a prophecy that was put over my life that says I would speak to tens of thousands of people. And I had no clue. Have you ever been to Spray, Oregon? There's 150 people there. I used to say that I went to Bible college. And I say I grew up in a town of 150, and people look at me and go, "Well, 150,000 is not that small." I say, "No, that's the city. That's not that small. 150. I had 12 people in my graduating class. I think 8 of them were exchange students." And I had a prophecy over my life. I'd speak to tens of thousands of people at one time. And I thought, how is this impossible? There's no way. But we were pastoring in Pullman, and the Lord dropped in my heart one day, you're going to go to Pakistan and preach the gospel. And I thought, Costa Rica, sure. I'll do a crusade on the beaches of Brazil. Lord, you want to send me to Florida? Pakistan? And so I began to pray, and God connected me with some people through that prayer, and we began to trust and fundraise to go do a gospel crusade in Pakistan. We got it all fundraised. We were ready. We were believing for 20,000 people to come into the kingdom through 12 days of ministry, capped by a large crusade. 2 weeks before I was about to leave to Pakistan to fulfill what was a prophetic word over my life, one of my greatest fears in life was realized. I was sitting in my office and my wife texted me a picture, and the picture was a ketone stick, which that may mean nothing to you, but it was a ketone stick that was highly colorful, and she had gotten it from my daughter, my little 18-month-old, I think. And that ketone stick indicated that my child was also coming down with type 1 diabetes. 2 weeks. I raced home. I'm a mess. My wife is way stronger than I am. I'm a mess. We take her up to the hospital. They're jabbing her. They're doing all this stuff. And I am absolutely falling apart. She's diagnosed DKA. She was sent in a helicopter from Pullman to Spokane. We're up there in the hospital for quite a while, getting everything settled. And I'm about to leave for 12 days to another country. Part of me was ready to pull back, and I know Courtney was ready for me to pull back. Don't go, how could you leave me? And she's forgiven me for leaving. But I got angry at one point, and it was a righteous anger, and we were believing, and my church was praying, 20,000 souls, and we began to pray, God, I'm so mad at what is going on, and we're not seeing healing yet, but we're going to continue to believe. But God, we, in the midst of this, we are praying and believing, God, you're going to save 40,000 people during this ministry time. We believed for 20, doubled it to 40 in our anger. By the end of that week, the crusade had over 100,000 in attendance. I preached 12 days, three times a day to small churches of 500 to 800 people. We saw by the end of that, believing for 40, over 80,000 people come into the kingdom and hundreds of churches. Why do I say that? I say that because in the hardest thing, one of the hardest things I've ever faced, it was intimacy with God that caused me not to fall apart. Oh, I fell apart emotionally. But caused me not to stop trusting Him, not to stop believing Him. But instead of pulling back, instead of a moment when I should have said, I'm staying, I'm done, I'm not doing that. It was the intimacy that I had with God that caused me to go and believe Him for more. And then it was His goodness that took what I believed Him for and doubled it. The enemy is going to attack you. Some of you got prophecies over your life. I don't say this to cause you to have fear. I say this to tell you that the moment you're about to step into the promise of God, so often there's a great deal that's going to come against you. And I wonder how many people are at the edge. And it's like there's a line right here. And they're at the edge of the promise of God. And they're being held back by all the stuff that's going on behind them. But I want to tell you right now, it's time to step over, because you're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You're going to see what your God can do. But you got to stay close to Him. You got to stay near to Him. Because it's near Him, near the flame of His wonderful purifying presence, that you'll find He's faithful and He'll give you strength to push on. Intimacy with God, number one, strengthens and purifies your faith. Number two, intimacy with God sustains you in the valley. I read this scripture and it jumped out at me one day, but it's David. He declared in Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is what I found when I was pastoring. So often people would come into my office, and I don't have quite the compassion that I know Pastor David has, but they come into my office over and over again, and I'd find out through talking to them that they saw this scripture about the valley of the shadow of death and thought, this is the place that I'm going to camp. And the scripture says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God doesn't equip you with a tent and hangout stuff in the valley of the shadow of death. He equips you with some walking shoes, because it says, when you're walking, I will be with you. I wonder how many people, how many of us, how many times have you been camped in the midst of depression and struggle and trial, and God's beckoning you going, hey, we got a hike to do, don't hang out here. But you found a comfort zone in your pain and your trouble. He said, walk. Don't settle in. Don't remain in the trial. Don't stop pressing into God's presence. God is with you as you walk. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all." What God has for you is so much more glorious than the pain that you are experiencing. There's a principle in the Bible of holiness. God is holy. And that word is so often above our heads. We go, "I don't really understand. What does this holy mean? God is holy. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. What does this mean?" But I heard this once, and it really checks out in biblical theology, that holiness at its core is wholeness. That God is perfectly whole. There's no lack. He's good from the top to the bottom. He is pure in His love. He is absolutely whole, and there's no room for anything bad. He's holy. What does that mean? It means that when you're in His presence, when you're close to Him, when you feel His nearness, that wholeness surrounds you. And you find every hole in your life begins to fill up. I talked about it earlier when it comes to fear. Fear is actually a missing point in your life of God's holiness, His wholeness. And you don't get holy by being good, by doing good. You get holy by being near and inside and close to the whole one. In His presence, there's no room for attack. If you have fear, trial, trouble, run to Him. There's a wonderful scripture that's actually a song, and I grew up singing it when I was in youth group all those 20-some years ago. It says, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you." Now, there's two things to this scripture. One is, absolutely, it's saying, "I am so thirsty for your presence, God." And that thirst is causing me to long and to desire you above everything else. And that's a great place to be, because that's where He'll find you. But there's another thing. If you guys are all sort of Central Eastern Oregoners, you know about hunting. Deer, and when it's talking about panting, it's indicating the deer has been running, that it's troubled, that there's things that are going on, and this deer is panting for the water. Why? It knows if it's being pursued by a cougar or a bear or a predator. That predator is pursuing them by smell. And if the deer can get to the water, and I've seen this over and over again, deer will walk up a river in the water. Why? Because the moment that it entered the water, and the water represents God's presence, the moment it enters the water, its scent is left in that place. And as it walks up the banks of the river, it loses the predator because the predator cannot find the deer in the water. This is what I want to tell you. When you get into God's presence, the enemy loses your scent and can no longer find you. And you'll find that the mental attacks that have come against you begin to wash away. And you find that replaced by that is God's wholeness, His holiness, His strength, His goodness. So this is what I want to tell you. Trials are not your final destination. This is what I would have you to walk away with. If nothing else, keep seeking God. I have experienced His glory. I've experienced His presence. I've felt His power. And there's nothing else in this life that can satisfy. Don't let temporary suffering shake your eternal confidence. Let me tell you this. The enemy wants to isolate you. God wants to pull you closer. You know the great danger of depression is it's isolating. It makes you want to hide. This is one of the great tools of the devil, is to cause people to pull away. This is why the Bible says, "Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together." We're meant to gather together because somehow in this gathering, we are able, in the midst of all of our struggles, to latch on to someone else's journey. And as God is encountering them, He'll move upon us. And together we are able to overcome. Depression drives you into isolation, tells you to get into a tent and camp in the valley of the shadow of death, ignoring the touch of God's heart, hand knocking on your heart. It tells you to stop and pull back. And there's a generation of people today, if you're on TikTok or any of the social media platforms, there's this whole concept that's called deconstruction. And it's people who they put their faith in man, they put their faith in any number of things except put their faith in God. And now they found that when something is unraveled over here, it wasn't God, it unravels their whole faith. And they pull away and they run. Some of them are genuine hurts. Some of them have been through some stuff. Let me tell you, I've been through some stuff. Church is full of imperfect people. Our leaders are going to get up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes. Or they're not. Let me say, I remember one time I was pastoring. We'd just taken a church and I went up and I was going to shop in Walmart. There was no self-checkout. Walmart was a battle to me every time. Still is. I'm so thankful for the pull in, they load it, you go home. But I was going, and I remember walking through Walmart, and I'm getting my stuff. I got a point A, which is grab it, point B, check out, get back to my car. I will not see anybody else. So if you see me in a store, if you don't say hello, I will not see you. But I was pastoring, and I didn't know, but I was supposed to notice. Almost like the force that, there's a member of my church here somewhere. I must seek them out and find them. And I walked by somebody, checked out. Those people left the church. Because they're mad because pastor didn't say hello. Now I know that it was other things. And all kinds of stuff. And it added up and it created pain points. And they didn't know how to run to God. And they had their faith and their trust and their stuff placed in the wrong area. Can I just say, this is not the hour to separate. This is the hour to press in like never before. This is the hour to gather like never before. Because I believe, and I want to say this, I believe that we are on the edge of a great breakthrough in the body of Christ. I remember hearing stories. I was pretty young in the 90s to go to Brownsville, and I the stories of God moving upon the nation. It seemed like in the 90s and early 2000s, you could sneeze and a church we planted with hundreds of people and they'd gather Sunday morning and Sunday night and the glory of God would fall every time. And somewhere along the way, we've gotten into this place where it's just faithfulness. We're just one step in front of the other. So God does show up. There's wonderful things that happen. But we know, those of us that have heard and experienced, there's more. There's more. Your faithfulness showing up on this Sunday where you miss an hour of sleep. Your faithfulness just walking one foot in front of the other, trusting your leaders and believing. Your faithfulness for those of you that are praying on Thursday. Your faithfulness is going to help usher in when God begins to move in a unique and powerful way. I believe, why not here in this house? I don't know. I think there could be some glory nights starting up on Sunday nights. And if they call for one, a Friday or a Sunday night, you ought to make sure you come. Some of you have never experienced. You've experienced His forgiveness. You've experienced His love. But you've never experienced the lightning of God's power hitting you like, I can't even describe it. But I believe it's coming. And frankly, it's this house. This is a fine, fine church. I feel bad for the other churches in the Dalles. Because the Lord looked down and said, Covenant, I'm going to send my best ones there. I'm not joking. That's why I'm here. Your laughter hurts my heart a little bit. Now, this is my final of the three primary points. Intimacy with God redeems hard seasons. This is something you need to get anchored into your heart. God is not the author of evil. God didn't give you cancer. He didn't give you sickness. He didn't put that stuff on you. But this is what I've learned, and this is what I find so amazing about our God. There's nothing that can be put on your life that He can't turn around. Let me say it another way. There's nothing that is hard and horrible that we go through, that God can't get something good out of. I love this scripture. This one is one you can grab and enjoy. Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Romans 8:28, you ought to have it written on your heart. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. What does that mean? God's not surprised by anything that you walk through. God is not surprised by the pain that you're experiencing. God's not surprised by diabetes hitting my daughter. God's not surprised by anything. And He has the power, to heal it for sure, and we trust Him. But He has the power in the midst of all of that to get good out of our troubles. I grew up in a privileged family. And I don't mean privileged by finances or any of those kinds of things. My mom, a teacher. My dad was a logger. I grew up in a family of extreme love. My father was the best hugger in the world. And gruff. He was a logger. I mean, he had arms that were bigger around than my thighs. And I'm a big guy. But just his love, so powerful. And I remember when I was 13 years old, the logging industry was dying in Spray, and Dad was having to travel all over to be gone for weeks at a time, and he knew he couldn't do that, and so he began to just do odd jobs around town. And one day he was working on a roof and he fell off a ladder and hurt his back. I remember when they pulled up in the car, they were going to take him to the doctor to check things out, and I hugged him and I said, "Dad, I love you." And they pulled off and they took him to Fossil. You ever been to Fossil? It's the lesser town in Wheeler County. Fossil said, we need to get him checked out more. They brought him to the Dalles. Brought him up to the hospital right up there. So I was staying with my grandma that night. She lived next door. And I remember waking up early in the morning and there were all kinds of cars that were out front. And I heard people whispering, "Should we wake him? Should we wake him?" I thought, well, there's certain family members here. I mean, someone's passed away. And I thought, well, it must be Grandma, because she was old to me at that point. She's probably 60. My perspective has shifted a great deal. I'll just tell you that right now. Old is like 99, okay? But then I saw her plodding across the living room, as grandmas do. So I'm laying there, and they finally brought the youth pastor in as I began to stir. And he looked at me and sat across from me. I'll never forget his face. He looked at me and said, "Craig, Jimmy died last night." I thought, Jimmy? I don't know any Jimmy. And all of a sudden, like a bomb erupting in my heart, I realized he was talking about Daddy. I didn't know him as Jimmy. It was Dad. And pain. It's been 25 years. Pain like I've never experienced erupted in my soul, and I ran out of that room. I ran down to the river where Dad and I used to fish, and I just sat there rocking, because here the anchor of our family was gone. Eventually they came and got me as a 13-year-old boy. They said, "You should be the one to tell your younger brother." You know, small town emotional intelligence at play. Mom was gone emotionally, mentally. She was completely... I remember walking in the room. She was mentally checked out. Walk up and they bring my younger brother out. He's about 9 years old, and I looked him in the eye. I said, "Keith, last night Daddy died." I'll never forget grabbing him and holding him. I've told that story across the world. And it does get good. You'll hear God redeeming it. But I tell you that story because it's the first time in this town where it happened. See, we found out later that The nurses didn't think there was any pressing cases that night, and so, and I love nurses. Don't hear anything I'm not saying. But they were praying cards in their nurses' station and didn't hear the alarms going off as morphine they'd given him for the pain closed his throat and killed him. Let's skip ahead a little bit. I'm a mess. I knew God. I'd met with God. I'd been to crusades. And as a young child, I used to, those old Maranatha worship tapes, I used to listen to them, and the presence of God would come into my bedroom. But God was not my first thought in that moment to run to. I was just lost. And a teacher who knew that I loved church came and got me 3 days after my father died. Never forget, took me to church. Took me to church. And in church, I'm crying through the whole worship service, and they let me. You never know what someone's going through. It might be distracting to you, but it might be the only thing that's going to heal them. Cried through the whole worship service. Cried through the whole preaching. At the end of that, they gave an altar call. The pastor said, he was a visiting speaker. He said, I heard about what's going on in the community, that someone has passed away. I know some of you here are very close to him. And if you just need a touch from God, come up. And I don't know what overcame me, but I remember in that moment I stood. And all of the intimacy that I had had with God leading up to that point of my young life came crashing into me. And the power of God, I stood up and the power of God hit my pew. I'm telling you, it was so powerful the people around me fell. I ran to the front, fell on my face, and I had a vision in that moment of God's glory. And in the midst of that, I saw my father dressed in white. And God touched my heart and called me into ministry. When I talk about redeeming hard seasons, 80,000 people, I never would have preached to them in Pakistan. I never would be standing here today preaching to you of the goodness and the glory of God if it hadn't been for God redeeming the hardest thing I've ever walked through. Now, can I tell you that sometimes God will do something and you got to be reminded of it? A few weeks ago, one of our daughters got into the pill cupboard. And thankfully, all she took was vitamin B, but it had niacin in it. We didn't know niacin can cause an instant reaction that causes your skin to turn bright red, be really hot, and she began to shake. And I'm like, emergency room. I walked through those emergency room doors. First time in my life. And I realized that these are the last doors my father ever entered alive. Woo! God had healed my heart 25 years ago. But it began to stir in me. I'm talking, it wasn't just I figured it out right then. It took me a week of running to his presence because old wounds that had been healed were beginning to stir. This is what I want to tell you, and this is what I'm trying to encourage you with. Your trial is making you stronger, not weaker. Your trial is putting something in you that will allow you to overcome the next thing that you face. And the best place that you can gather that inner witness that will take you forward is in the house of God, in the midst of worship, and at an altar. I'm feeling the presence and glory of God beginning to stir some hearts in this room. Some of you are going to have an encounter for the first time. Like a young man who stood in a church after bawling through, I don't know what the preacher preached, and the power of God hit me and touched my life. Some of you are going to have an encounter with an almighty God this morning that's going to cause you to be able to step forward when others would say there's no way. There's a scripture I love in Acts. It's in Acts 4. Jesus has already died and resurrected. The apostles had gone through incredible pain and trial and wondered where their answer was. And then the answer came back. And then the answer, Jesus said, well, I got to go because I'm going to send somebody else to you that's going to be better for you. And all this stuff. And I mean, it must have been like whiplash. Jesus dies. He raises again. He's with us. We're fishing. We're eating. We're hanging out. It's really great. And Jesus said, hey, by the way, I'm about to leave. But I'm going to send somebody else. And he's going to guide you in all the things I've taught you. And he's going to be with you. And he's going to bring my presence to you and conform you to my image. He's going to do all of this great stuff. And Jesus leaves and the apostles go and they wait in an upper room. And that presence, that Holy Spirit of God, the one who was with me at the altar as a child, the power of God upon the face of the earth today was brought into the earth. And that power of God so changed these men and women that later in Acts 4, people were watching them going, these are not intelligent men, they're not learned men, they're fishermen. But in their mind, they recognized these men have been with Jesus. I love that scripture because the best thing that you can do at any point of your life is to be with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit this morning will reveal Him to you in fresh ways. And I want to say the altar is a great place to start a journey of intimacy with God. Let me just close with these few scriptures. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I want you to begin to turn your mind around right now. Begin to seek God with your heart. Do you want to have an encounter this morning? Your encounter this morning has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with an anointing that's on my life or Pastor David's life or this church. It has to do right now with you beginning in your heart to say, God, I want to encounter you. I'm tired. I lost an hour last night. I'm hungry. Didn't have time to get breakfast. But God, I'm going to set all of that physical stuff aside and I want to encounter you. If you begin to turn your mind, God will touch your life this morning. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. James 4:8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Trials often create desperation. And if you allow that desperation to push you into a divine encounter, it will make that trial not a waste but a testimony. I told you I went the Sunday after my dad died, found myself at an altar. I went to Pakistan a couple weeks after my daughter's diagnosis, found myself with praying with people at an altar. Altars are powerful moments of intersection between your life and God. There are two responses to pain: shelter up, hide from God and people, or press into God. If the keyboard could come up, I want to first give you the most important first step, and that's to know Jesus Christ. I don't know, maybe everyone in here has already had a born-again experience. You know that God is your Savior, but maybe some of you are wondering. You've heard about God. You heard the stories I told today, and you're wondering, I don't know that God. I'm not close to Him. I want to invite you, if you've not given your heart to Him, you might be feeling that tug right now. Can I tell you He's good? He's worth serving? He's worth giving your life to? It's not that all your troubles will end. It's that all of a sudden you got a partner that's got the power to get you through them. You got a partner that's already done everything that needs done for you to be forgiven, to become the righteousness of Christ, to become whole in holiness, to be forgiven of everything you've ever thought or done or will think or do, to cleanse you. It's all been done. If you would stand with me, I'm not going to do an altar call yet, but I want to ask, is there anybody in this place? You don't yet know God. You want to know God. You want to know this God that I've talked about that got me through the hardest parts of my life and who's been with me and who sticks closer to than a brother who forgives completely and transforms. And you want that forgiveness and you want to know that God. And you don't yet know Him. You've never given your life to Him fully. You've never turned yourself over and said, I need this forgiveness He's talking about. If you'd bow your heads, if that's you in this place, and I'll move on in just a moment, but if that's you and you want that forgiveness right now, you want to be transformed, you want to have the turnaround that only God can give, would you just raise your hand and wave at me across this place? Anyone want to be saved this morning? All right, I see a couple of hands. So I want you to pray with me, the whole church. Jesus, thank you. You made a way where there was no way. You forgave me on that cross. And I want to accept that forgiveness today. Come into my life. Cleanse me. Make me whole and make me holy. And be with me. I give my life to you. Now, I want to make sure I left room in the clock because I want to minister this morning to those. Maybe you're facing a trial. Or maybe you just want to know God. You got a hunger. There's something pulling you. You feel it. I want you to feel it inside. I feel a tug inside that I need to know that God. I need to get more intimate with Him. I need to draw closer to Him than I've ever drawn before. Oof. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ooh. Even now I feel His presence beginning to... You feel that little buzz. You feel that little run up your spine. You feel that little shake. God is beginning to stir. Oof. Thanks. That's the presence of God. And you want to know Him more. You don't have to be in a trial. You just have to have a deep hunger. God, I want to experience you. If that's you in this place, I'm going to count down from three. And I don't want any hesitation. Because the first people that I pray for, I want to be those that are feeling like they're almost being yanked forward. When I get from three to one, I want you with all that you've got to hit this altar with as much strength. And then this is what you do. You don't wait for me. You begin to cry out to God because I'm going to come and I'm going to agree with what God is doing in your life because frankly, it has nothing to do with me. And God's going to begin to stir you. When I get to one, if you could have the keyboard go way up just for me. This is just my comfort. Whew. Precious Holy Spirit, you are drawing right now. Some are facing hard things and they're going to come up to get strength. Some are so hungry for you, they feel that tug on their heart. Two, draw them, Lord. Make that tug an unshakable pull. One, come forward right now. You want a touch from God. Come and seek after God. Come and seek Him. Lift your hands and cry out to this holy God this morning. Ooh, I feel His glory. I'm going to need some ushers to come and help. I see the power of God on you right now. He wants to encounter you like He's done with me all those years ago. He's putting strength inside of you. Trials turning to testimony. That's the presence of God on you right now. Increase it, Lord. Just increase it now. Let fire rise up in... Ooh, that's glory. What are you feeling right now?